Welcome to worship this morning at Belfair Community Church. It is good to see you. It is good to see you. This is the first day of fall. And I don't know about you, but I love summer and I also love fall. I love the changing seasons and the reminder of our God who is always doing something new among us. Our God is on the move. And as we gather in this place, we know that he is most certainly right here with us. So we prepare our hearts to worship this morning. Would you hear these words from Psalm 67? This is coming from the Message translation. God, mark us with grace and blessing. Smile. The whole country will see how you work. All the godless nations see how you save. God, let people thank and enjoy you. Let all people thank and enjoy you. Let all far-flung people become happy and shout their happiness because you judge them fair and square. You tend the far-flung peoples. God, let people thank and enjoy you. Let all people thank and enjoy you. Earth, display your exuberance. You mark us with blessing, O God, our God. You mark us with blessing, O God. Earth's four corners, honor him. Would you pray with me? Father God, we join the song, the cry of the psalmist. We say, oh God, let all the peoples thank and enjoy you. We have come here this morning, oh Lord, to give you thanks. For you are worthy. You are worthy of our gratitude, for you are a God who is generous, who is full of mercy and grace, a God who loves us unconditionally, a God who comforts for us, provides for us. You just love us so well. Let us thank you. Let all the people thank you. And we have come this morning, oh God, to enjoy you. There may be games on TV this morning, little glimmers of joy that our culture brings us. It is nothing compared to enjoying the presence of the living God. We have come to enjoy being in your presence. We have come to enjoy singing songs that lift up your name. We have come to enjoy the love and encouragement from one another. We have come to enjoy your word as you speak to our hearts. We have come to delight in you, O Lord, for you are not only worthy of praise, but you are enjoyable. You're a God who is good and kind and full of delight. And so this morning, would you see hearts that are glad? Would you see hearts that are alive? Would you see smiles on faces, even those carrying heavy burdens? For you are good and you are in this place. And as we worship, would you fill our hearts as our praises fill the space around your throne? We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 18, would you follow with me verses 1 to 16? When David had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was bound to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that he was wearing and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him. As a result, Saul sent him over the army, and all the people, even the servants of Saul, approved. As they were coming home, when David returned from killing the Philistine, the women came out of all the towns of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with songs of joy, with musical instruments. And the women sang one to another as they made merry, "Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s." Saul was very angry, for this saying displeased him. He said, "They've ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they ascribe thousands. What more can he have but the kingdom?" So Saul eyed David from that day on. The next day, an evil spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he reigned within his house while David was playing the lyre, as he did day by day. Saul had a spear in his hand, and Saul threw the spear, for he thought, "I will pin David to the wall." But David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. So Saul removed him from his presence and made him a commander of 1,000. And David marched out and came in leading the army. David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. When Saul saw that he had great success, he stood in awe of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, for it was he who marched out and came in leading them. Would you pray with me? And now, living God, as we turn to your word, would your spirit move freely among us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear? And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. Oh God, we want to be whoever it is you want us to be. May all of that happen in this place. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember Christmas when I was 16 years old. I don't remember what I got for Christmas, but my parents were always generous and always kind. And I'm sure as a 16-year-old, I got pretty much everything on my list within reason. It was a good day until I went to my friend Laura Jarvis's house that afternoon. 16 years old, she said, "You want to see what I got for Christmas?" She took me to her garage, and there was a brand new Jeep Cherokee. All of a sudden, my Christmas didn't seem all that remarkable. I remember finding out that I was pregnant. 39 years old, having a child was something that I had pretty much kind of assumed probably wouldn't happen. But when the pregnancy test came back positive, you can imagine all the feelings. There's a whirlwind of emotions, the joy, the excitement, God's goodness on full display. Until I went on Facebook. And one of my acquaintances, not even someone I have talked to in 20 years, was also pregnant. And she was having twins. Why does she get two and I only get one? Last fall, Danielle and Kara and I went hunting for mushrooms. It was a fun day. And we, more like Danielle, found quite a few. I don't think I found any. I don't think Kara found any. Danielle found a lot. I thought it was good. It was very good. It was a good day. Good day with friends. We had some mushrooms until, again, social media. I saw a picture of someone else's mushrooms, and their haul was like twice as big as ours. It's like a thing up here. Like, compare how many mushrooms you got. And I was like, man, I guess our day wasn't really that good. It's this comparison. Comparison. We know all about comparison. Comparison leads to jealousy. And jealousy blinds our eyes to God's goodness. It steals our joy. Jealousy, it works like this. My life is good. But now I see their life, and it's a bit better. And so my life no longer feels like it's all that good. Today's story has two people's responses to David. One of them sees him as a companion, and one as competition. One sees him as a friend to celebrate with, and one as a threat that has to be taken down. We're going to follow both of these stories and let their lives speak to our own lives. First, we have Jonathan, Saul's son. And if we know anything about how kingdoms work, we know that in a kingdom, if anyone is gearing up to take the throne once Saul taps out, it is going to be Jonathan. King's thrones typically belong to king's sons, period. Except for in this case, that's not happening. David has already been anointed by Samuel as the next king. And Jonathan may not know about this specific detail, but he did witness David's defeat of Goliath. And Jonathan is seeing as his own father's leadership is diminishing. And Jonathan sees between the lines, you know, dad's on his way out, and I'm not the one who's rising up. And what we expect, as most of these kind of stories go, is jealousy, right? That Jonathan would begin to connive to somehow get this throne that is rightly his. What we find is not that at all. It says, Jonathan loved David as his very own soul. And that detail changes everything. You see, what is shared between David and Jonathan is more than just a good friend. These two share closeness as if their souls are knit together. They belong to each other. As one rejoices, they both rejoice. Their souls are one. They care for each other truly as much as they care for themselves. They are committed to the good of each other as they would be committed to the good of themselves. This is the deepest of relationships. If you've got a relationship in your life like this, you are so, so lucky. When you love someone more than you love yourself, really, truly, it is hard to be jealous when things go well for them. Because they're not your competition. They're your companion. They're your kin. Their heart and your heart, they beat as one. And so good for them is good for you. And this is how Jonathan really saw David. You know what's a really good remedy for jealousy in this world that tells us we're all against each other? Enter a real relationship with the person that you're jealous of. It is really hard to not want good for someone when you are absolutely committed to loving them. What else keeps Jonathan from being full of jealousy for David? What else? He sees God's hand on David's life. And Jonathan loved his God even more than he loved David. 1 Samuel 14, verse 6, Jonathan is assessing the situation with the Philistines, and he says to his armor bearer, "There is nothing that can hinder the Lord from saving us, be it through one person or through many." You see, Jonathan knows in his heart of hearts that he has a God who is good. And Jonathan knows that this God will be glorified. And more than trying to get any kind of attention for himself, Jonathan just wants to see that the Lord will move as only the Lord can move, however the Lord wants to move. Maybe Jonathan will be the one the Lord uses. Maybe it will be someone else. Jonathan isn't worried about how God will act. He just knows that God is good and that God will act. And that is enough for him. When God is ready to show his goodness, when God is ready to show his glory, his children come together and they are thrilled for God to show it, for God to show his goodness, for God to show his glory, however God wants to show it. Maybe in my life, maybe in our life together, maybe in someone else's life altogether, it's all good. Because he is God and we are not, and God gets to be good however God wants to be good. But he is good. And because we love our God more than we love anything else, we are free to simply celebrate God's goodness however it comes to earth, however it comes. Whether it works through our colleague who got employee of the month again, it's God's goodness, celebrate it. Or whether it works through that person who got the job that I wanted, or the relationship that I wanted, or if his goodness comes through the person who got the clean bill of health that I wanted, loving God the most, like Jonathan, we become free to celebrate his goodness however it comes, to whomever it comes. Jonathan loved God the most. And Jonathan understands in his heart of hearts that God's goodness to one is God's goodness to all, because we are actually all in this together. We belong to each other. Jonathan watches as David takes that giant Goliath down. And Jonathan, he is a part of the people of Israel, and so he benefits directly from the good that God is doing through David for Israel. As things go well for David, things go well for Jonathan. They belong to each other, and it is the same today, my friends. We are all of us children of God, made in the image of God, brothers and sisters together. And so as God's goodness pours into one of us, it is true that it is also pouring into all of us. We belong to each other, companions, not competition, no. This week, I felt like there was just good news revolving all around. Linda Lane popped in my office and just updated me on one of her grandsons who has just faced some really hard circumstances, and just celebrating how good he is doing. And Jim and Shauna Bierman, they sent me beautiful pictures from their vacation in the Redwood Forest. I've never gotten to go there, but I got to see their pictures. And then I got this 3-minute long voicemail on my phone from Tommy English, just telling me how incredible her life had been this week as she was hearing God's voice in such a clear way. All of them sharing their joy. And I found over and over again that as I receive their stories, my heart is jumping for joy too. Because I know that as God shows his goodness to them, I am getting to receive his goodness as well. We are all in this together. As God is pouring his goodness out on David and on Israel, Jonathan sees it as goodness poured out on him too. No one's missing out. They're not competing. They're companioning. There's no jealousy when we're all in this together. Jonathan takes off his robe, lays down his armor and his sword, and he gives it to David. What he's doing is he is acknowledging that David has been the one who is chosen to lead. The one standing in the place that in Jonathan's heart of hearts, he probably wanted to stand at some point. He gladly gives everything to David, willing to play second fiddle if that is how God will be most glorified among his people. You see, the one in the story who actually has every right to be jealous is not jealous at all, because he sees God's hand everywhere he looks, on him and on his friend and on his people. How can we be jealous when we know and see this God who is just so good to all, to us and to them? Good to all. Then there's Saul. David and Saul are coming home from battle, victorious. It's a good day in Israel. And the women come out of their homes to meet Saul, and they're singing and they're dancing, and they've got this little song that says, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. And in his very own victory parade, Saul begins to lose his mind. It's just a silly song. And yet the bitter cycle of jealousy has begun. Just before the song, David was playing his harp in Saul's house all the time. His music was the only thing that could bring peace to Saul's anxious soul. David was Saul's helper. In a way, he was Saul's therapist. He was Saul's friend. But just one silly song, and just like that, the companion becomes the competition. One silly song, and just like that, a friend becomes a threat. Jealousy does that. Someone that we are meant to enjoy the blessing of friendship with, we end up pushing away, missing the joy that could be ours together. They say that I only killed 1,000 and him 10,000. They think he's better than me. They like him more than me. They're done with me. Saul is freaking out. Did you miss the part in that story where it says the women were coming out of their homes to greet whom? Saul. This party is for him. It's not even for David. A warrior slaying thousands of enemies, that's a pretty good feat. And it's normal. It's normal in songs. It's normal in poetry for the second line to kind of build on the first line. Perhaps they aren't even boasting about David at all. They're just singing a poetic tune. Perhaps. Everyone had come out to have this celebration for Saul in Saul's honor and Saul's name. But in jealousy, Saul hears everything instead as a personal jab against him. He changes the story in his very own head. Jealousy does that. And the only kind of party he could have was a pity party. You see, no one in this story is threatening to run Saul out. In fact, everyone's pretty pleased with what's been going on. He probably has a few more years under his belt, but his jealousy makes him fear what's not even happening yet. And it does this to us too. We've got God's goodness surrounding us every single day, right here and right now. But when we let jealousy creep in, we can only have a pity party. My vacation was fine, but I didn't get to go to Europe like they did. My dinner was tasty, but I don't get to eat at fancy restaurants like she does. I've got great kids, but I don't have any grandkids like they do. When everyone around us is dancing in the streets and celebrating God's goodness, jealousy keeps us inside saying, "That's pretty nice, but I'm sitting this one out." And all the while, Saul, God is saying, "Saul, this dance is for all my people. You too. Children, my goodness is for all of you. No one's missing out. Get in the party. Dance in the streets. God's goodness extends to all. Join the celebration. Don't let jealousy steal the joy and keep you from the dance." What a shame when it does. And then Saul asked himself, what more can David have now than the kingdom? Jealousy stirs up within us these lies of scarcity. We talked about it upstairs this morning. Saul says, "I'm going to lose everything, and he's going to get everything." That's a little extreme from just one song. If he wouldn't have lost his mind and his heart to jealousy, who's to say that Saul wouldn't have been king for a few more years at least? And then in time, David would have come on after. No one had to say it had to happen right now. But in this scarcity mindset, Saul believes that there is not enough goodness of God for him to make David great and Saul great too. One of us has to be less so that the other one can be more. One of us has to lose so that the other one can win. One of us has to let go of the kingdom so someone else can have the kingdom. And all of these lies of scarcity begin to make Saul so very paranoid and depressed and afraid and willing to go to extremes to protect something that's not really even being threatened. It's so silly what jealousy does. But we all fall prey to it ever so often. Do we serve a God who is big enough to meet the deepest desires of your heart and of my heart too? Of course we do. Of course we do. And so why do we get so anxious when everything seems to be going well for someone else? Like somehow if things keep going well for them, somewhere along the way, God's goodness is going to run out. And they're getting more of their share. And so somehow I'm going to get less. Where do we get that idea from? Jealousy, it's a sign of really bad theology. It exposes that in our heart of hearts, if we're honest, when we are jealous, in our heart of hearts, we actually think our God is stingy, or at least limited. It turns out our God can give David a great victory in battle, and he can do it for Saul too. Turns out our God can see people celebrate David and they can celebrate Saul too. Turns out our God can let David have a throne and Saul can have his throne for a while longer too. You see, Saul could have seen what was happening in his midst. He could have seen that he's getting older and his mental health is getting depleted and there's going to be another one. And he could have seen that David was rising up as the one to lead Israel after him. And he could have taken this young man under his wing. He could have mentored him. He could have cared for him. Instead, he tried to kill him twice in this story, and then it keeps happening. You see, bad theology makes for bad neighbors. Turns out theology is important. Jealousy and murder come from the same heart. It's just a couple steps further down the road. We've got to be careful with our jealousy, friends. Because the same hearts that don't want to celebrate with others aren't too far away from just wanting them gone. Careful with jealousy. It's dangerous, for sure. And notice, when Saul's jealousy comes in, an evil spirit comes with it, pushing out the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. That is the Spirit that loves us so much that he would lay his own life down to lift us up. And that kind of spirit has no place in a heart that wants to push anyone down so we can be lifted up. It's a spirit of withness versus a spirit of againstness. And the two cannot coexist together. One is for our neighbor. The other wants to see our neighbor fall. There is only room for one of these spirits in our hearts. Saul lets jealousy in, and as he does, the Spirit of God goes out. And this is important, you guys. Hear this. If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. To choose jealousy, and as hard as it is really a choice, is it not? To choose jealousy is to actually choose to push God's Spirit away from our hearts. Because jealousy is mad about God sharing his goodness with his children. And when someone doesn't want good for our kids, they don't want good for us because we want good for our kids. And our God will not dwell in a heart that is mad about the goodness that one of his kids is getting. If we want the Spirit of God to be at home in our hearts, we've got to get the jealousy out. Our God will not just put up with it. He will not just get cozy with it. He cannot exist. He could, but he does not want to exist with it. And so would we rather just keep being jealous of them or have more of him? I hope that's an easy question. Sometimes it's not, though, is it? That should be an easy question. And you know what's crazy? Is that in this whole story, David is living his life regardless of Saul's struggle. I mean, yes, he had to evade a spear twice, but besides that, David is slaying giants. And David is winning battles. And David is dancing in the streets. And David is hanging with his buddy Jonathan. And David is playing his harp. David is living his life. Jealousy comes to us as this tactic from the enemy, who John 10 says comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And as jealousy comes into us, steal our joy, it does. And kill our relationships, it does. And destroy our peace, it does. And all the while, that other person is just out there living their best life. We got to get the jealousy out of our hearts so we can live the life God has given us to live to. In God's goodness, there is room for all of us to live, to really live. We've got to quit fixating on how they're living, get to living our lives with God too. What do we do? What do we do with our jealousy? Do we just stop it? I love this one, the SNL skit from what's his name? You don't know. Oh, the guy that passed away recently. The funny guy, Bob Newhart. Stop it, stop it. Whenever he's a therapist and everyone, they come to him, tell him all their problems, just stop it. Can we just stop it with jealousy? In some ways we can choose gratitude, but what are some practical ways we can get it out of our hearts? Because we want less of that and more of him, do we not? One thing to do with our jealousy, be curious about it. Be curious about it. You see, our jealousy, when it comes down to it, is not actually about the other person at all, is it? It's showing us something about ourselves that we feel is inadequate, insecure, or broken. And where we see jealousy sneaking in, rather than using it to push the other person away, we can use it out of this place of humble curiosity to ask our God, God, what is this telling me about my own heart and where I need some healing, where I can be set free? Be curious about it. What else can we do with our jealousy? Pay attention to what it says about your theology and get better theology, because God's goodness to someone else does not in the least affect or threaten God's goodness to me. God is big and God is abundantly good, and that's good theology. What else do we do with our jealousy? Replace it with prayer and with kindness. It is really hard to be jealous of someone when you are actually praying God's goodness over them. All of a sudden, you're not competing with them, but you are participating in God's good work for them. And that is so much more fun. That's getting in the dance. That's living your best life. This week, who's that person that you really have a hard time seeing good happen to? Pray for them that more good would come. See what happens. And finally, what do we do with our jealousy? Get busy living your life so you don't have time to worry about how they are living theirs. Cultivate meaningful relationships. Go outside and walk in the beauty of creation. Serve your neighbors. Take some risk. Love the people that are right in front of you. When your life is full of God's goodness, you are going to be too busy dancing in the streets to care about someone else who might have just a little bit more. Because God's goodness is abundant, and it is right here, and it is right now. So live your life, soak it up, get off of Facebook for crying out loud. Live the life that God has given you, that he has been good enough to gift you with today. Don't waste this precious gift of life on this nasty thing called jealousy. Live this life. Enjoy this life. And let them live it and enjoy it too. Because you know what? Our God is big enough and good enough to be good to us all. So how about we just enjoy his goodness? Would you pray with me? Father God, messages like this aren't always the most encouraging, but they are, because jealousy is something that the enemy tries to sneak into all of our hearts any given day, because he knows the power of jealousy, that it isolates us, that it steals our gratitude and our joy, that it makes us turn our neighbors into threats. And that's not from you, God. And Father, we are living in a culture right now, in a climate right now, that tells us to fear others, to look at who's getting more than us, to protect what's ours, to be jealous of those who get what we wish we had coming our way. And all of those lies of culture just eat us from the inside out like Saul. And so this morning, we lay the lies at your feet. And we ask that you would fill our hearts and our minds again with your spirit of truth, your spirit of companionship, and your spirit that is abundantly good to all, us and them. And that is good news. Let us see, celebrate, dance for, and live in your goodness this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.